Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 10, verse number 21. Savai kilayam purusha puratano. Ya iko asit avesha atmani. Agre gune bhyo jagat atmanishware. Nimilitatmam. Nisi supta saktisu. They said, here he is, the original personality of Godhead, as we definitely remember him. He alone existed before the manifested creation of the modes of nature, and in him only, because he is the Supreme Lord, all living beings merge as if sleeping at night, their energy suspended. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. There are two types of dissolution of the manifested cosmos. At the end of every 4,320,000,000 solar years, when Brahma, the Lord of one particular universe, goes to sleep, there is one annihilation. And at the end of Lord Brahma's life, which takes place at the end of Brahma's 100 years of age, in our calculations, at the end of 8,640,000,000 times 30 times 12 times 100 solar years, so that's approximately 311 trillion years, there is complete annihilation of the entire universe. And in both the periods, both the material energy, both the material energy called the Mahatattva and the marginal energy called Jivatattva merge in the person of the Supreme Lord. The living beings remain asleep within the body of the Lord until there is another creation of the material world. And that is the way of the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of the material manifestation. The material creation is affected by the interaction of the three modes of material nature set in action by the Lord, and therefore it is said here that the Lord existed before the modes of material nature were set in motion. In the Shruti Mantra, it is said that only Vishnu, the Supreme Lord, existed before the creation, and there was no Brahma, Shiva, or other demigods. Vishnu means the Mahavishnu, who is lying in the causal ocean. By his breathing only, all the universes are generated in seeds and gradually develop into gigantic forms with innumerable planets within each and every universe. The seeds of universes develop into gigantic forms in the way seeds of a banyan tree develop into numberless banyan trees. This Mahavishnu is the plenary portion of the Lord Shri Krishna, who is mentioned in the Brahma Samhita as follows. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the original personality of Godhead, Govinda, whose plenary portion is Mahavishnu. All the Brahmas, the heads of the universe, live only for the period of his exhaling after the universes are generated from the pores of his transcendental body. Brahma Samhita 5.58. Thus, Govinda, or Lord Krishna, is the cause of Mahavishnu also. The ladies talking about this Vedic truth must have heard it from authoritative sources. An authoritative source is the only means of knowing about transcendental subject matter definitely. There is no alternative. The merging of the living beings into the body of Mahavishnu takes place automatically at the end of Brahma's 100 years. But that does not mean that the individual living being loses his identity. The identity is there, and as soon as there is another creation of the Supreme Will, by the Supreme Will of the Lord, all the sleeping, inactive living beings are again let loose to begin their activities in the continuation of past different spheres of life. It is called Suptotita Nyaya, or awakening from sleep and again engaging in one's respective continuous duty. When a man is asleep at night, he forgets himself, what he is, what his duty is, and everything of his waking state. But as soon as he awakens from slumber, he remembers all that he had to do and thus engages himself again in his prescribed activities. The living beings also remain merged in the body of Mahavishnu during the period of annihilation, but as soon as there is another creation, they arise to take up their unfinished work. This is also confirmed in Brahma in the Bhagavad Gita 8, chapter 8, verses 18 to 20. The Lord existed before the creative energy was set in motion. The Lord is not a product of material energy. His body is completely spiritual, and there is no difference between his body and himself. Before creation, the Lord remained in his abode, which is absolute and one. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So here we see a much more plausible explanation of what happens to living beings after the universe is wound up. And there's several, destructions of the universe. At the end of every Manu's life, there's a partial destruction. At the end of every day of Brahma, there's a partial destruction. And at the end of the life of Brahma, there's a complete dissolution or destruction of the material universe, but it's not that it's completely destroyed. All the living entities and the Mahatattva is reabsorbed into the body of Mahavishnu, and that absorbed state is called pradana, where the time factor and the modes of material nature are not acting. And then it's a period of deep sleep for all the living entities. And then when the Lord decides to manifest the universe again, the universes again, Mahavishnu exhales, and all the molecules of his exhalation become seeds of universes. And then as a seed grows, the whole universe expands. So what we see here, and this is a very nice philosophical concept, the cause is in the effect. That is, everything emanates from the Lord and begins infinitesimally and eventually develops into something gigantic. And then everything is reabsorbed back into the Lord. So, just like the cause is everything's emanating from Mahavishnu for the material creation, and in the form of seeds, and each seed grows into an entire universe. So, the cause and the effect are the same, actually, or one, because whatever has evolved came originally from Mahavishnu. And then it goes back again into Mahavishnu. The effect is again absorbed into the cause. And then we see that human life also begins in the same way. It begins from the subtle and goes to the gross. So that the seed comes from the father into the womb of the mother. The mother provides the nutrient base, and it develops into a human being. And the banyan tree and all trees and all plants, they start from a seed. And the seed is very small. Like if you look at the seed of a banyan tree, it's no bigger than this. But it develops into a gigantic tree with many, many trunks and many, many roots and so forth. And let's say the seed of amaranth is so small, you can hardly even, you can see it, but it's very, very small. And it produces a pretty big plant. And the seeds of fir trees are not that big. They also produce these gigantic trees. And then eventually the tree falls down naturally, and it disintegrates back into the earth. Right. So this is happening everywhere in creation. So the original cause is manifested in the effect also. So the idea that, you know, people die, there's a final judgment, some go to hell, some are destroyed, and some go to heaven. It's basically a very, very, let's say, incomplete explanation of what happens. And then they say, you know, once you go to hell, that's it, you're finished. You know, you can never get out. It's all silly stuff that's made up on speculation. However, it does say that because the soul is eternal, it can eternally stay in the cycle of birth and death. But the soul is eternal. It's not. There's no such thing as the soul is destroyed. You know, there's no more soul. No, that's not true. But the soul can go into a dormant stage. The soul can stay eternally in the material world, or the soul can go back to Godhead. And even though the soul goes to hell, it can be saved. If you read the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Maharaj Parikshit, when he hears about hell from the fifth canto, he asks Sukadeva Goswami, he says, is there any way we can help these people that are in hell? And Sukadeva Goswami gives him, explains how they can be helped. So, see, that's Vedic knowledge. I mean, even someone in hell can be saved. Christianity says, that's it. Once you're there, you're done. You're toast. Nothing can happen to you after that. You know, you have to suffer forever. It's a bunch of nonsense. But unfortunately, some people believe that. But this is much more credible, and it shows that God is actually merciful. Whereas the God of the Old Testament and even seems to be very harsh. Sometimes he destroys the world, and he feels sorry that he did it. You know, so you see, that means that, you know, he's fallible. He made a mistake, but that's not true. But anyway, that's the way they portray it. Okay, so, and this Mahavishnu is but a plenary portion of Lord Sri Krishna, and that's explained in the Brahma Samhita. Which says, Brahma Samhita, verse number Brahma and the other lords of the mundane worlds, appearing from the pores of hair of Mahavishnu, remain alive as long as the duration of one exhalation of the latter, Mahavishnu. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, of whose subjective personality Mahavishnu is the portion of a portion. So the idea that, you know, Krishna is an expansion of Narayana is wrong. This proves it. Narayana in the spiritual world and the Vishnu incarnations in the material world are non-different. And both are expansions of Lord Krishna, according to the Brahma Samhita. So that's why it says Ishvara Paramakrishna Satchitananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. So he's the cause of all causes. Right. So there's two points that we explained today. This one is Lord Krishna in his Shamsundar form is the cause of all causes. But because Krishna is absolute, the cause is in the effect. See, that's another major point, the causes and the effect. In other words, you can start from any point in material nature, and it'll lead you back to Krishna, the supreme, ultimate cause of all causes. So we have two very strong verses. Well, we have more than two, but anyway, the two important verses, Ishwara's, one is the first mantra, I'm sorry, Ishwara Sarvabhutanam, the first mantra of the Brahma Samhita, Ismara Parama Krishna Satchitananda Vigraha Nadirajit Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam, and then Aham Sarvasya Prabhava Matak Sarvam Pavartate Iti Matva Bhajante Ma Buddha Bhava Samanvitaha. So those two verses, Brahma Samhita, the invocation, and then, or the first verse, and then the 10th chapter, 8th verse, Bhagavad Gita. Those are two very strong verses. But then there are many more. There's a verse in the 10th canto where Brahma says that Krishna is the source of Narayana. And then there's a verse in the first canto, 9th chapter, where Bhisma says that Krishna is the first Narayana. So there are many verses that explain that Krishna is the original source of everything. And all those verses are spoken either by Krishna himself or by the Mahajans. So the Mahajans are the experts, right, of who is Krishna. So each one of the Mahajans, there's 12 Mahajans, they all say that Krishna is the original source of everything. Okay, so are there any questions? It talks here about supto-tita nyaya, or the deep sleep state, in which the living entity is still alive, but is in a deep sleep. So we also have three levels of consciousness. We have deep sleep, we have dreaming, and we have awake. So those three stages are being experienced by all living entities. So there is a deep sleep where we're not fully conscious anymore. And that is called supto-tita nyaya. That is supto-tita nyaya is awakening from sleep and engaging in one's respective continuous duty. There's another name for the deep sleep. I have to find that. Okay, so any questions? Yeah. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama,